now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. It's at the new later time of 8 p.m. in case you're listening live on a Thursday. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Tara Fraser. On the show today, the Diversity Trust.
Tim and Trudy are live in the studio to bring us up to date on the Trust's been all up to.
And Queer Story returns with the first part of a two-parter called Words.
Yeah, I found out it's more than two parts actually, lots of words. Yeah. So all today, right here on Shout Out. Oh, no one did it.
No one did it tonight.
It's too late.
It's bedtime.
Bleary-eyed and addressing to our new time on the on the live broadcast.
So it was very weird having like Ben leave the studio as we're coming in. We're used to him taking in after us. I meant to change that at the beginning because I just saw like part one and went, oh, it must be a two-parter, and wrote it on.
It's multiple words.
And then when you actually listen to it, she's like, this is part of a series we're doing. I'm like, oh. Okay, I must remember changing out the script. I completely forgot.
It's all right.
I screwed my words up totally doing that. Only 15 odd years doing it. I still get it wrong. So I'm going to blame it on it being late. It's past my bedtime.
I don't know how
Steph's going to cope. So hello, Steph, if you're listening.
Yeah,
so,
she will be.
She gets up super early as well. She gets up super early.
She does, yeah.
Yeah, 6 a.m. riser, isn't she? Yeah.
Yeah, way past her bedtime by now. He says, known for well, she's probably sat there having like a gin and tonic somewhere in Italy at the moment.
I should imagine so. Some really nice food somewhere in Milan.
So, yeah, it's lovely. One of the things I do like about Facebook is like, you know, they're on holiday posting up photos. Oh, it looks lush. You do kind of get a bit kind of like mofo, don't you? You're like, oh, I wish I was there.
On holiday?
Yeah.
You can buy a card and there's two women talking and one says to the other, what would you do if you didn't have Facebook? And the other says, my job, probably.
Oh dear, how funny. So,
but it's an age thing as well now, isn't it? Facebook's for a certain generation.
Yeah, older.
Yes, I don't think young people
just laugh at me.
Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok's a big one. But things just seem to go viral like in seconds on TikTok, especially if they're not true.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? This is the nature. Yeah.
Critical thinking is required.
Yeah, they are talking about introducing it in schools.
Read
what you hear.
That'll challenge politicians then, though, won't it?
Well, hopefully, yes. I mean, they do need to be challenged, don't they? Because they can
I just realised we're running here so quick, you haven't even taken your coat off.
It's cold in here. That air conditioning is like for a blast.
The air conditioning is cool. It's cool.
You'd think it was the middle of the summer when in Italy or something. And I'm Scottish.
I'm good lord, that says it all, doesn't it?
Got the right clothes, the right weather. And at the moment it's cold, so I've got a jacket on.
This is not cold, it's like, it was 15 degrees
today. It was lovely today, yeah. But as soon as the sun disappears, the temperature plummets now.
Yeah, it does at this time of year.
I know it's lower in the sun now, so it's getting in your windows a lot quicker as well.
It is.
In the run-up to Samhain, as it was originally called, or Halloween, as we call it.
Halloween, isn't it?
Or Hallows Eve. It's got lots of different names, hasn't it?
There's a lot of sea stuff out there is already in the shops as well.
Yes, I've seen. Are we close enough without to say it?
No.
Well, then I did notice that the Christmas TV station.
He said it wasn't me. All right.
I did say it. I apologise. And the sea radio Christmas, station.
You said it.
I'm both switched on.
Oh yeah, so you can actually start in July.
You can switch on your box
I'm not.
And watch some films, festive films.
Yeah. I'm not humbugged by Christmas. I mean, I think it's for kids more than it is for adults.
Christmas.
Definitely. It's a nice holiday though. It's a nice.
After our New Year.
We ought to ask our guests. Have you started your Christmas shopping yet? Either of you? Oh,
no, I haven't even dared to think about it.
Christmas Eve. Yeah.
I'm. I am a. I'm a Halloween babe. I love Halloween.
I like Halloween.
So yeah, I'm very much gearing up for Halloween.
Well, what's it you like about it?
Oh, spooky season, isn't it? It's just everything. I'm a massive goth at heart, so I love anything spooky and scary.
It's really weird because like these days, everyone's like, "Oh, it's an American thing," and they're like, "I remember when I was like 6 years old, we used to go trick or treating. I wouldn't say it was an American thing. We used to do it."
It was more Guy.
You have to put a pumpkin outside.
I think
days,
it depends on your age. There again, I remember it was Guy Fawkes.
It was definitely
Burn a Guy rather than Halloween. Wasn't quite such a.
It was more of a penny for the guy. Where I.
Yeah. I don't think you can legally do that anymore, can you? It's technically begging, isn't it?
Is it? As long as you don't shake the tin.
Yeah.
It's shaking the tin aggressively. You're not allowed to do. Apparently.
Oh right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's,
you're allowed to ask.
I've just got visions of you right now.
What, shaking the tin aggressively?
Yeah.
No, it's me going. Yeah. Take your money out of my pocket. It's really hard now, because I never carry cash anymore. And when people,
no, it's not quite the same when you walk up with a credit card terminal and go, "Penny for the guy."
That's not going to work.
It's not quite the same, is it?
I think the paper that you buy off people, homeless.
Big issue.
Thank you. They're
not all homeless, right?
No. But yeah, I know. They're working towards.
Yeah.
But they do contactless now as well, don't they?
They do. Yeah. A lot of them do. Yeah.
But then they also have all the official. Like, they put them in those red tops, so you know they're official sellers and the like. So it's clear it needs to happen, unfortunately, because cash is disappearing. I got a fiver in my wallet. It's been there 2 years. And don't say that's because I'm stingy. It's not. It's because I use my phone.
The moths are flying.
So, anyway, Tim, Trudy, a very warm welcome to Shout Out.
Thank you very much.
So welcome to the chaos. So you're both from the Diversity Trust. Lovely to catch up with you. I mean, we've had Barclay on quite a few times. I think you said earlier you're kind of stepping into his persona.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but because so Barclay lives up in Scotland, so he's no longer actually based in the southwest. So the role that has been created that I've kind of come into is sort of I think you put it in a really good way. I'm almost like his human avatar in the southwest. So
yeah, but I mean, it's lovely to catch up with you guys again, because I think it's been a little while since we spoke to you. For the listeners who may not have heard of the Diversity Trust, do you want to give a quick synopsis of what you are and what you do and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so we're an organisation that obviously focuses around sort of social inclusion and social influence and things like that. A big sort of like part of the work that we do is around sort of training and consultancy. So that's kind of like the bread and butter of the organisation. So we've got an LGBTQ plus specific team, a race and bias team. We have consultants that work around sort of all different types of inequality, so like disabilities, neurodivergencies and things like that. The work that myself and Trudy are doing, though, is a lot more on that sort of social influence side of things, and is LGBTQ plus specific. So the project's called Voice and Influence. I work as a voice and representations coordinator, and Trudy does the volunteering side of things. So we're in the same project, but we've both got very sort of different hats.
And how does the volunteering work?
Well, what we're doing at the moment, what I'm doing is I'm just setting up the Diversity Trust volunteering program, sort of developing and reviewing policies and procedures specifically for recruiting, inducting and supporting our volunteers. And then we have already got a few volunteers within the Diversity Trust with our LGBTQ plus adults, alphabet adults, which is in South Glass. And we've also got a couple of volunteers that help us out with some research. We're currently doing some work around LGBTQ and the impact of menopause, and we've got a couple of volunteers supporting on that. So we're quite at the early stages, but hopefully what we're looking to do is sort of amplify the voices of the community, LGBTQ plus community, and try to get or put together alongside the community meaningful and purpose-driven volunteering opportunities, things that people actually are motivated to want to do, things that people are passionate about.
And is that geographically limited? Is it in Bristol area, or is it nationwide?
It's at the moment where we're kind of funded to work is we're affectionately calling it, well, I think many people do call it the Bristol Donut. So we're Bath and North East Somerset, North Somerset, Somerset, South Gloucestershire, and then we're also branching into Gloucestershire itself. We're not directly working in Bristol, but we're working very much in partnership with other organisations within Bristol. So there's an organisation called Vosca who have set up the Bristol LGBTQ plus partnership, and we're sort of part of that. So we're not leading on that. That's very much something that Vosca are leading on, but it's something that we're working in tandem with that. And through that, because we know there's obviously a lot of people who identify as LGBTQ plus that live in Bristol, those volunteering opportunities could be something that present themselves and become part of our network. So it's not,
I think it's in a state, we're taking a sort of staged approach to the volunteering, and stage one is Diversity Trust volunteers that we're looking at recruiting, and then we'll be moving out into one of the other areas, which is the next piece of sort of work, and what Tim's getting involved in is in Bath, where we're seeking the views of some group LGBT plus groups, finding out what volunteering opportunities might be available. We will also be recruiting volunteers to help with that kind of surveying and gathering the views of the community in Bath.
It's very organic then.
Yes, absolutely.
So
yeah,
you find something that needs to be looked at to research, and you're going to do the research, and then from the findings, do something with the findings as well?
Yeah, so we're ultimately, that's kind of like what we're kind of be looking to be doing, is like doing all these different sort of like mini research projects, and then from the findings developing things from there. One of the ones that we've kind of already started to implement, which Trudy just touched upon, is within Bath we've kind of identified that there's a lack of support for LGBTQ plus people who are sort of over the age of sort of between, well, over the ages of sort of like 18 plus to around sort of 45-50. So we're looking at sort of repeating a model that we've already got in South Gloss around the Alphabets group, but to do that we're having to sort of like go out and find, do focus groups and things like that. So we've already identified that sort of gap. Yeah. From doing the research, and now we're doing phase two in terms of focus groups, finding out what people actually want and will engage with, and then that will lead on to potentially looking at funding and setting up that group and things like that. So it is, it's, as you said, it's organic, and it's very much being led by the information that we're gathering.
And also I think one of the things about the volunteering side of things is that we'll be looking to how can we support community organisations within the areas that Tim mentioned, the Bristol Donut. How can we support people to sort of recruit their own volunteers, you know, and involve people from the community in the community? How can we do that? And that'll be part of what we'll be looking at as part of the Voice and Influence project as well. So, yeah.
So have you found things, because it's been around for quite a while, hasn't it, the Diversity Trust, 2012, wasn't it? How long have you two been with it? Have you been with it long enough to see some serious change?
No, or? So we've only been, I've been, 2.5 months,
and
I think
mine's 2 months.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
But
you might not be able to answer my question.
No,
I was
going
to ask you what it was like now compared to back then.
Oh, no. Unfortunately, yeah, we're very new into the role. Because
how are you finding volunteers then? Because I mean, we obviously interview quite a lot of people, and we're volunteers ourselves here, and it's not an easy thing finding volunteers. Has that been your experience too? Have you struggled a bit with it?
Well, so far, no. But, you know, who knows? That's because I'm sort of like looking for volunteers that to support the initially Alphabet Adults, which is South Gloss. That seems okay at the minute. I don't know what it'll be like in some of the more rural areas, for example, when we move to Somerset and Yeovil and Taunton. It might be more difficult. I don't know until we try to do it. But it's, you know, so far it's been okay. We advertised for a trans person to help us on a menopause research project, and you know, within like 2 weeks we had a couple of people approach us, so you know, that was really positive.
I won't lie, despite all the things we've ever covered, I don't think that's a subject we've ever really talked about, is it?
No.
when we'll have to put on this program. So we'll have to talk to you about your your findings with
it. I think that's the thing, is that I think what we've been doing like thus far is sort of looking for very specific volunteers. So that's therefore lent to it being a captive audience and things like that. And like Trudy alluded to, maybe when we're starting to spread the wings a bit more, we might find it a bit difficult. But from Trudy, you probably can speak about this more than I can, but there does seem to be a want to volunteer. And we, even just in, from the small like engagement projects that we've done thus far, like everybody said like, oh, I'd like to do this idea or this idea or this idea. So there's the want for it. It's just creating that sort of opportunities is maybe where we've kind of found the difficulty, rather than the actual people wanting to do it.
Absolutely, yeah. And which is great. You know, it's a real passion for supporting for LGBTQ plus community groups, supporting other community groups. It seems to be a real passion for that, and working on equalities-led initiatives.
So far. I mean, I don't think our community is perfect, but we are kind of good at supporting each other.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's the same for you. I've always felt really proud to be part of our community.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And pull up with Tara.
Thank you.
It's because Steph's not here.
It's always it is. But volunteering is it takes time and commitment, and I guess that's the thing that you got. You know, I guess there's more time, and people got more time. I guess there's a risk of people not always having kids and having a bit more free time on their hands.
But there's different ways of volunteering, isn't there? It's like, it's about working with an individual for me as a volunteer coordinator, and looking at how we can involve people and help
and fit around there.
Yeah, fit around what they time they've got and their things that might be happening in their lives, and just getting out there the message about how beneficial it can be, not just for individuals but for groups, community groups, society. You know,
I think it'd be fascinating around when you go into deeper, darker countryside and seeing how that plays out. Cities are great for, I mean, a lot of people, I'll include myself there, run to the city because it's a safe place to be in anonymity. I come from the countryside, never would imagine coming out in the countryside.
I wouldn't have done when I was younger. I was very similar. I came out because I came to Bristol. It's not perfect. I'm not going to pretend it is, but it's a lot better than it used to be, to a point where these days I'd feel less anxious about going back home and being there compared to, I mean, I'm 46, I'm going back to when I was 18, you know. So it's nice to see things are changing. But I'm assuming you are still looking for volunteers.
Yes.
So if anyone's listening, absolutely, you know, what are the specific things? I mean, you talked about quite a few things, but if someone's listening, oh, I'm not so sure, you know, what should they do? Can I have a chat with you about it?
Absolutely. We've just actually, there's on our website, there is a link to volunteering on there.
Right.
And my email's on there, so you can email me and I'll get back in touch and we'll have a chat. And that tends to be like how the process is working at the minute. We're kind of informally having a chat and finding out what it is somebody wants to volunteer doing, whether we've got anything now or whether it might be something in the future, where they want to volunteer, what type of sort of service. So it's having that initial chat and finding out what time they've, you know, what flexibility, what time they might have, whether they want to volunteer from home or...
But there is a range, so if they've got a little bit of time or they've got lots of time, you've got different things that they can help out with.
Well, we may not direct straight away have, but because of the work that we're doing in the areas that Tim, you know, the Bristol Donut, I think that, you know, we are going to be looking at lots of different types of ways that people can volunteer.
I'm going to have to remember that Bristol Donut. I've genuinely not heard it called that before.
I hadn't, and then somebody else mentioned
it. It was Barclay.
Well, that's the Barclay. Barclay first introduced it to us.
Yeah.
And then I heard someone else, like, completely outside of our organisation use it, and I was sort of like, oh, maybe this is a thing, but...
I know when you come to Bristol, you don't leave. I mean, that's a thing. You know, that's where we come to, you come to for a little while and you stay forever.
It's a bit like Shout Out. We end up with guests coming on the show, and then they become part of the crew.
Sorry,
Tara.
Sorry.
Well, we might be worth saying again what the areas are, rather than just in case anybody...
I mean, is it worth us repeating it? So Bath and North East Somerset, South Gloucestershire, North Somerset and Gloucestershire itself.
hereby known as
the Bristol Donut.
There you go. So if people want to get in touch, you said it's on your website. Do you want to give out the details so people know where to head?
Yeah, so it's just thediversitytrust.org.uk.
So, and if I recall from our conversation outside, you're one of those few lucky people who's got one handle for all your socials.
Yeah, so it's
you?
Just at Diversity Trust.
Yeah. Oh, you're so lucky to have that. The number of organisations, even ourselves, we couldn't just get shout out everywhere. It was really annoying. So, but listen, Tim, Trudy, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you.
And best of luck. And it sounds like we ought to stay in touch and see how some of your like research and the like goes. It sounds
absolutely.
Like you're doing some fascinating things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, most definitely.
Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. I'm back in a minute.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Nice bit, Kylie Minogue. That's Lights, Camera, Action. That's her brand new single, that one.
Yeah.
So it's not quite a Padum, but
it's a bit more mellow.
I like it, yeah.
I like
it's very, the video to it's fantastic.
What's the track I like? All the Lovers.
Oh, yes.
That was 2010. I thought it was a fantastic single.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's when my music stopped. I stopped listening to music after that point.
Did it? So you were like, I should be so lucky, Tom.
Yeah,
of course. I should be so lucky. The breakthrough.
Do the locomotion.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's almost 40 years ago, isn't it?
She did one with Jason Donovan as well.
Especially for you.
Especially for you.
And Madonna. She did one with Madonna as well.
Yeah, she does.
Does she really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, she's a bit of a gay icon, isn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Is she a gay icon? Yes, she is a gay icon.
Yeah, she's a bit gay icon. Yeah, I can tell that because she's got a concert coming up and all the gays on my Facebook are just like, Kylie.
She is a bona fide gay icon.
That's how you know. It's a bit like, it could not be more cliched and true if you tried, but when it comes around to Eurovision, my Facebook explodes. And you get all the memes saying, straight people, this is a bit like our equivalent of the World Cup.
I thought that was the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah, that's what I'm on about.
Sorry. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is our equivalent of the World Cup.
Yeah.
And much, much, much more important than the World Cup.
Oh, yes.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Can't have nil points.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Heaven forbid.
It's the standard for the UK, isn't it? Nil point.
We've had a few nil points.
We have, yeah. Yeah. Sam Ryder, was it?
Sam Ryder, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we would have come first if it weren't for the Ukraine war. Mm. I can totally understand everyone voting for Ukraine, but he was amazing.
But it's all political. It's all it's quite a complicated process, isn't it?
Anyway,
always has been, though, hasn't it? There was always the Greek Cypriot vote in the 1970s.
And they've had all kinds of weird rules as well. Like, you used to have to sing in your own language at one point.
They did introduce that,
Didn't they then say you had to sing in English and then they just abandoned it, or...
Yeah, and there's always been a flashpoint because sometimes some of the countries in the Middle East have been members of the EBU, so they qualify for Eurovision. So I think on one occasion both Israel and Jordan were in it.
Wow.
And Jordan didn't want to recognise Israel's right to perform, so during the Israeli song they broadcast a test card on their television channel.
But then,
so it gets very political.
Russia have done loads of that, didn't they? I don't think they've been part of it since the war broke out.
No, they haven't.
But before then they used to censor a lot of it because they didn't like the gayness of it. And
it's a bit of a ship that's already sailed.
I mean, if you remember Tattoo, which were the two, well, they weren't actually lesbians, were they? It was so the story goes.
They were Russian faux lesbians, weren't they?
Yeah, back when it was okay to be LGBT in Russia, and it sold.
It's so sad what's happened to Russia, isn't it? But you know, I mean, we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah. Well, should we find out what else is going on in the world?
Let's do that. This is Shout Out News. Welcome along. There are no punches pulled in a press release from allout.org, the international fundraising site that works with local projects on the ground to protect LGBTQIA+ lives. The All Out fundraising department makes a grand appeal for funds and says, "We'll cut right to the chase. We're facing a £53,000 fundraising deficit because people aren't donating like they used to. We understand this. There are so many more important issues and emergencies. It's simply exhausting to keep track. But here are the realities of All Out on the Ground. A donation can mean an LGBT plus life in the Middle East is saved. A donation to All Out means a trans person in Tunisia is let out of jail after being wrongfully imprisoned. And a donation to All Out means a young gay man in Rwanda can celebrate Pride for the first time. If you want to donate to All Out, and they are soliciting donations right now, go to their website, which is at alloutorg, and they say that everyone deserves to live with safety and dignity, no matter who they are or who they love. That's All Out appealing for funds across the community. Now, Black History Month is being marked here in the United Kingdom. Over this side of the Atlantic, it takes place in October, whereas in the United States, it's in February. Wikipedia reports that in the UK, Black History Month was first celebrated in October 1987. The year 1987 was recognised as the African Jubilee Year. It was coincidentally the year of the 150th anniversary of Caribbean emancipation, the centenary of the birth of Marcus Garvey, and the 25th anniversary of the Organisation of African Unity, an institution dedicated to advancing the progress of African states. Now, in the 1980s, several municipal authorities in London and other cities were administered by the left of the Labour Party, much to the fury of right-wing newspapers such as the Daily Telegraph, and these local authorities, such as the GLC in London, pressed for recognition of Black History Month, as well as celebrating LGBTQIA plus people of colour. Today's officially recognised Black History Month UK has as its theme this year reclaiming narratives. The organising committee explains the theme is not just about revisiting history, it's about taking ownership of the stories that define our culture, our contributions and our very identity. It's a call to action for Black communities across the UK to step into the role of storytellers, historians and custodians of our heritage. For far too long, our histories have been narrated by others, leading to distorted portrayals that fail to capture the full breadth and depth of our experiences. But this is your chance to be something, part of something bigger. Whether you're an artist, educator, student activist, or simply someone with a story to tell, reclaiming narratives at BHM is your opportunity to contribute to a collective effort to reshape how Black history is perceived and taught. Now, the good news feed from LGBTQ Nation website says that wedding bells are ringing in Asia, in fact, across Asia. They say the King of Thailand has just given his royal assent to a law allowing same-sex couples to marry and adopt, and couples are excited to begin their families and lives together. There's been a run of good marriage news recently. The small European country of Liechtenstein, near Germany, has also recently legalised marriage equality, as, of course, did Greece. And earlier this year, a lesbian couple made history as the first to have their marriage legally recognised in Nepal. So it does look like love is in the air as we move into the autumn. The BBC News Channel reported on Sunday the 29th of September that Philip Schofield, who came out on the television programme This Morning on ITV before falling from popularity after having an unwise but not illegal affair with a young male colleague, is to make a final television programme. Mr Schofield has filmed A Desert Island Diary, which will be aired on Channel 5 in the UK. In it, he says that coming out later in life has led to anguish for him, but he also defends his right to have a relationship with a much younger man. Mr. Schofield also says that his documentary may be his final appearance on British television and that he might well resign completely from our screens. Mr. Schofield does have his defenders. Peter Tatchell pointed out that however foolish his relationship with a young colleague may have been, it was ultimately nobody's business but their own. Mr. Tatchell also noted that there was an undercurrent of homophobia in the way the right-wing newspapers had reported on Mr. Schofield's difficulties. Now, Australian gay magazine DNA reports on an occurrence that took place during Pride season in 2023, in which a self-appointed Buddhist centre in the Somerset town of Glastonbury displayed several posters claiming that homosexuals need to be reprocessed into heterosexuals. The bizarre case will surprise many people, not least many of the many Buddhists who are neutral or supportive on LGBTQIA+ issues. However, once we dig deeper, we find that there there are a lot of spiritual charlatans masquerading as enlightened leaders in Glastonbury, which is a town with a very strong New Age reputation. In this case, correspondents in local newspapers pointed out the posters originated from a centre operated by one Ronald Lloyd Spencer, who claims to be the Buddha Maitreya or Jesus the Christ. Mr. Spencer claims to be the reincarnation of various spiritual leaders and historical figures. He is well known for spreading homophobia, but crucially, he is not a representative of Buddhism, and in particular Western Buddhism, which has celebrated LGBTQIA people since the 1970s at least. And finally, Lisa Power, the veteran activist who has worked with LGBT Switchboard, Terence Higgins Trust, Stonewall and other groups in a 50-year career of changemaking, is amongst the figures celebrated at an installation of art at the ruins of Whitby Abbey in Yorkshire. Ms. Power, who holds an MBE for services to minority communities, is one of seven game changers recognised by the work of art, according to Pink News. The artwork was unveiled by historian and TV archaeologist Tony Robinson. Discussing the need for activism at each generation, Ms. Power said, "History is irritatingly cyclical, so we're going through a bit of a bad time, particularly for trans people, and a bit of a hard time in some countries outside Western Europe. But the lesson is that we can do things about this." Well, that's it for this week. Please do keep tuned to community radios and podcasts through the week for more information on these stories and more. And do check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, I've been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Queer Story. This is the first in a series of episodes dedicated to looking into the history of words and sayings that are often used by LGBTQIA plus people, as well as some of which have been used in a derogative way or those that have been reclaimed by the LGBTQIA plus community. And I thought there was no better word to start with than, you guessed it, queer. During the 1895 trial of Oscar Wilde, a letter from the Marquis of Queensbury detailing his disgust at Wilde's relationship with his son Lord Alfred Douglas was read aloud in court, and it was here where Wilde and other homosexual men of the time were labelled as snob queers. The slur queer originated around this time, and this would have only been enhanced further by the publicity and notoriety surrounding Wilde and the criminal trial. American newspapers then picked up on Queensbury's use of the word and adopted it themselves. However, the concise New Partridge Dictionary of Slang notes that it wasn't until 1914 that queer, a derogatory adjective meaning homosexual, was being used more commonly in society. Considering its evidently offensive and degrading origins, many people dislike the term, as it still has cultural remnants of anti-LGBT or homophobic sentiments. The dictionary also notes that as a noun, queer can refer to a homosexual man or a lesbian, usually a pejorative but also a male homosexual term of self-reference within the gay underground and subculture. In fact, even as an adjective, the dictionary states that queer is considered derogatory from the outside, not from within. So despite the term's own history as a slur, many individuals have claimed the word for themselves, finding it an appropriate label for self-identifying. In a letter held at the National Archives, discovered following a raid connected to the Caravan Club, which was described as a disorderly house of male prostitutes, Cyril Sieur de Lyon uses queer as a form of self-identification. Writing to Billy, the owner of the Caravan Club, Cyril explains, "I have..."
Yes.
As well.
So tune in. So
I'm looking forward to catching up on that one. Looks like I should probably... We sometimes go back... Do you do this? You go back and you watch the last episode of the previous series just to remember
probably
where you got
to. Watch the whole series.
Oh. At my age, you've got to remember
that. Is that where it gets?
That's when you get to my age. It's like, let's just watch series one and then series two. And okay, now we're back on track.
Oh dear, how funny. So yeah, but then to be fair, I mean, I would quite happily go back and watch the whole of Heartstopper. I mean, it's a lovely, lovely.
Well,
so I did cry a little bit at the end of season one.
Okay.
When they kind of like got together and like, yeah, it was just so touching, you know. Because I can still remember a time when I thought, never seen anything like that on mainstream TV. And it's common as.
Well, it's getting there, isn't
it's
it?
Getting
it's
there, yeah.
Improving.
Yeah.
It's improving on British television anyway. I mean, in some other countries, things slip backwards, don't they? Yeah, you know, with real problems. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
States,
even in this country we have issues. I was reading that apparently the cast of EastEnders are a little bit up in arms at the moment because there's an official calendar come out or a book or something. I forget what it is now. And it pretty much has none of the black cast in it.
Really?
Yes. And the BBC have distanced themselves and said, excuse Terry dying in the corner.
I know, I don't know what's happened to me this evening.
And the BBC have distanced themselves, saying it was someone else that made it, and all the cast are a bit up in arms. Yeah, yeah. So you wouldn't have thought that kind of thing would happen this day and age.
I don't know.
No, especially from EastEnders, which is a very mixed and always has been multiracial cast.
Yeah, they touched on really good storylines. Like they covered coming out as well. Yeah.
They did.
Like Danny Dyer had the whole storyline with his son coming out, didn't he? So
he did. EastEnders is the
Anyway, that's it for this week. Now, a question for you: if you have a group or a topic or something LGBT related that you'd like to come on air and talk to us about, we'd love to hear from you.
So, if so, get in touch. We'd love to have you on the show. Head to our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt, and get in touch.
Next week, we catch up with Mr. Gay UK, or nearly. Bless him.
I'm getting so excited.
He's lovely. He was really sweet to interview. From myself, from Terry, and from Tara, and the rest of the crew, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.